I had something I thought I was supposed to share. I'm not sure, so I'm going to go for it anyway. It's really just a scripture, Matthew 7:7. So if y'all don't mind, I'm not going to read it fast because I get nervous and I read fast. So I'm just going to read it, and it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." And y'all know we've had this preached to us a bazillion times. But for me this morning, what I was thinking about when I read it was, I need his gifts in order to treat people like I want to be treated, you know? Because we're full of it. And without his grace and him giving us good gifts, I don't have the supernatural character of God to treat people always like I want to be treated. So, in the 90s, I went to a meeting in St. Louis, Missouri, and John Arnott read that scripture about, you know, and I don't still get it all, but I'll take the gifts, you know. If he wants to give them, I'll take them. Spiritual gifts, natural gifts, and say thank you. Josh is great, y'all. Give Josh a round of applause. Woo!
There you go. Well, thank you very much. That was a wonderful transition. I'm going to sit down, if that's okay. The leadership team is getting back at me. I remember last year I took like 3 or 4 vacations because why not? And I was gone for like a while, so they're getting back at me this Sunday. They're like, "All right, Josh, holding down the fort, baby." So here I am. I'm not sure what Mary was talking about earlier, about left brain or right brain thing. I don't know which side of which brain it is, but I feel like I'm still transitioning from one side to the other right now. Left to right or right to left. But let me get my stuff here. Okay. Now I see why Don Potter, you guys ever been to a Don Potter meeting? Yeah. And he just has his guitar the whole time. And then he'll play a little ditty, go into heaven, maybe come back, and then say it, and like, whoa. And then he goes back to his guitar. I was like, man, that'd be cool. I thought about doing that. That'd be cool. No, what Mary was saying was really exciting when she started talking about we need God's gifts to treat people the way we want to be treated. We're going to take a look at Romans chapter 12. You guys ever read Romans chapter 12? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I got a good story about Romans chapter 12. I was reading it this week, and I read it in like a bunch of different translations, and I haven't found a bad translation of it yet. It's just like really good. And anyway, I told my wife Brittany, I said, "Babe, you need to read Romans chapter 12. Just go read it. Just check it out. Doesn't matter what translation." A couple hours later, I said, "Hey, did you read Romans chapter 12 yet? I got a lot going on here, babe. I'm not just sitting around eating, you know." So I was like, "Okay, that's fine." Asked her when I got home, "Did you get a chance to read Romans chapter 12? "No, babe, I didn't get a chance to read Romans chapter 12. I'm like, "This woman of mine, trying to be a spiritual leader in this house, I can't even get her to read her Bible." We got two babies at home that are just like tearing the house apart. I love you, babe. I know you're watching. Hey, Micah. Hi, Brennan. If Braxton, if you're awake, hey, buddy. My 15-year-old's probably still sleeping right now. But anyway, sometime that night, I'd fallen asleep at this point, and she still hadn't read it. And I don't know what time it was. The older I get, the earlier I go to bed. Y'all know what that's like. And she wakes me up, babe, Romans chapter 12. And I'm like, "I told you." No, she's like, "No." She was messaging a friend of hers that was going through some stuff. And she just said, "Hey, my husband told me to read this. I read it. And I think you should read it too." Her friend says, "OMG, I am a day behind on my Jesus Calling Bible study, and today is Romans chapter 12 by this crazy coincidence." And they had this whole moment. And I was like, "Okay, there's something on this." So I just thought it'd be fun to read Romans chapter 12 together this morning. But before we do that, I do want to share a little bit about that song, Countless Angels. I was shared this a little bit with the worship team this morning. I was in my living room, just noodling around like we were just doing together, noodling, you know, the smell of diapers in the air, and, you know, living room a wreck, you know, probably stepped on three or four toys and maybe let a word slip before I actually sat down on the couch to praise Jesus, just keeping it real. And that lyric came to my mind, "Heaven and earth in this moment collide." And I'm like, as much as what I see with my natural eyes is experiencing right now, this feels, does not seem like heaven right now, you know? If you ever, I was talking to a buddy, he said, he was at my house and he walked by my outdoor trash can. He's like, "Whoa, I remember that smell. The diaper and the black trash." Whose idea was it to make the trash cans that sit outside black? Like, that's just like a cooking furnace of nastiness. Anyway, yeah, they're like cooking the diapers in there. It's like a diaper oven. Anyway. He walked by there, and he was like, "Oh, man, that smell. Oh, man, I'll never forget that smell. I'm glad my kids are out of diapers." I'm like, "I'm getting there." Not really, but maybe I'll see the light. Anyway, I digress. So that's going on. It just doesn't, but the reality of it is, the reality of Jesus' life that we see is fully God, fully man, always living from the perspective of heaven. Always. Jesus always living from the perspective of heaven. I got thinking about, you know, my situation not being nearly as bad, but Jesus, you know, when he taught, he looked out and he was aware of what heaven was doing as he spoke. When he broke bread with people at the table, he was aware of what heaven was doing in the home and their lives. When he went to the wedding, he could hear echoes and see glimpses and be completely aware of what heaven was doing at that wedding. As he was being led down the street to be crucified, the spit of Roman soldiers and blood running down his face, still aware of the perspective of heaven. And as the nails pierced his hands and he felt the pain of earth, he was overwhelmed by the joy of heaven. Whew. And he calls us to be the sons and daughters of God who live in every aspect of our lives from heaven to earth. Can you imagine the spit and the blood on this man's face, on our Savior's face, and still, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It takes a perspective other than earth to pray that prayer. There's no way somebody seeing, living, reacting, being completely earthbound, whatever, and unaware, there's no way. It is a statement that is pregnant with all of heaven and a perspective that only heaven could bring. So that song, I'm just sitting there in my living room. Everywhere I step my feet, Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God, right? Jesus's words to us are, live this way. Do not allow the subversive ways of this culture, which we're going to get to because it's going to come back to Romans 12. Be not ye conformed to the ways of this world, right? We're getting there. But Jesus said, I heard it said this way one time, that Jesus wrote this magnificent symphony. And Paul in Romans and other places is just teaching other people how to play it. Isn't that good? Paul is just saying it here, do not be conformed to the ways of the world. I'm getting ahead of myself. I have been just overwhelmed in a good way with all that the kingdom is and all of that. I feel so inadequate and unprepared and unable to speak intelligently about the kingdom when I see the goal and where I am. It doesn't take long for me to get on Market Street and I have slipped out of the kingdom real quick. Get me to that intersection of South College and where Hugh McCray and Oleander is, and you sit at that place seven revolutions. Man. But that's what we are called to. And by his spirit. And that's the next verse. I feel your presence in this place. Your spirit dwells inside. The spirit that caused you to live from heaven. The same spirit that raised you from. That same spirit that caused you to say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Lives in me. And I am going only by that spirit, not by my might, not by my power, not by my self-discipline, not by 1,000 sticky notes everywhere in my life that's telling me to do the right thing, but by your spirit, I will live this kingdom reality out on this earth. And not only live it out, but make the places that I go look like heaven. Where there is unforgiveness, I release forgiveness. Where there is straight stinginess, I'm going to release generosity. Where there is hatred and my cheek is slapped, I'm going to release love and turn the other cheek. Where there is death, I'll say the heaven phrase, they're not dead, they're just sleeping. That's a heaven reality statement. Because in the natural, that that child was dead. But in the kingdom, which is our reality, you can say a phrase. Oh, I see. Oh, you're seeing the earth perspective, but Jesus saw something different. And by his Spirit, we will live and do and see that. I'm not telling you where I am, everybody. I'm telling you the goal. I'm telling you where I want to live. I'm telling you, let's go to Romans 12. Let's go there. Because I believe it makes it sound like there's a process here. Romans 12. And you know what? It's such a good chapter. Can we read the whole chapter? Is that okay? You know, I'm going to go another side note here. During this quarantine, I was really drawn to the first couple of chapters of Acts. And, you know, there was, you know, Jesus was ascended, and then he says, go, you know, basically isolate yourself, go lock down. And then after a lockdown, there was the shaking, right? And then after the shaking, it says, and they met together, and they shared meals together, and they dedicated themselves to the prayers and to the scriptures. And I don't know about you all, but the thing that I missed most during quarantine wasn't the lights and, you know, all the cool backgrounds. I miss you all. I missed touch. I missed being one connected. I love that breaking bread and being in union with one another. Was anybody else like, man, I just cannot wait to get back to church to see those really cool slides on the church background. Oh man, I just cannot wait to get back to Morningstar and see that, you know, awful floor that's not here anymore. Thank God we got carpet. Hallelujah. But you know what I mean? Yeah, there was just a rich deepening of my love and appreciation for each and one of you. And I feel like when Rick joined us here a couple weeks ago, he said, we're going to rethink how we are doing church. We got to start rethinking. Maybe instead of investing in buildings, we invest in people. Maybe instead of investing in, you know, whatever, we start investing in, let's make some room and have people over to the house. Our home group is planning on doing a beach night. We've been doing Zoom, 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 Zoom. All I want to do is Zoom. No, sorry, terrible. Take that out. That is a terrible song from the 90s. Anyway, gosh. I feel like I just got some of like Mary's ADD jump on me for a second there. No, we're like, you know, Zoom's been great, but we're going to go to the beach and we're just going to hang out and enjoy an evening together. And I feel like that's something that we are all longing for. As much as I love hearing the word preached, and I love to look in the face of someone that's going through life and still see that overcoming power of the Holy Spirit fighting in them in the same way that it's fighting in me. And I get to see them fighting for me and I'm fighting for them. There's something that happens in the trenches that will strengthen this community. And so anyway, go read the early parts of Acts and you'll see this really, this incredible community. And I feel like we're experiencing that. We're experiencing the longing of that. But there is a warning there because we can ignore it. We can come right back and do it the way we've always done it. I had this experience, man, I'm all over the place, but I think it's gonna be good. I had this experience during quarantine. We had this table outside, one of those glass tables, octagon, I don't know how many sides, more than four sides, and umbrella. And our umbrella was just bad. It was just rusted, had holes in it, mildew. So we got rid of the umbrella, bought a new umbrella. And remember during the quarantine, there was that week where there was like crazy wind. Remember the winds that were blowing for like out of nowhere? Well, that night, one night, it blew my brand new umbrella up. And when it blew the umbrella, you know what happened? Shattered my glass table. And thousands of little, I mean, it was one of those tempered glass things. And it is, I don't care how tempered it is, there's still little shards everywhere. I'm out there, and I'm in 6 o'clock that morning. I'm out there scooping and dumping and scooping. And I feel like the Lord was just using that to show me when we get back. If we try to take a new umbrella and put it into an old table, it's going to not work. It's going to bust it. And I feel like that, what Rick Joyner was saying a couple weeks ago, was kind of an encouragement, like we have to do better. So you know what I did? I bought a new table, but it's a metal table now. The metal table works way better than the glass table did. So if the wind blows, it can sustain what the wind is doing. Can I get up? Come on now. You don't got to be very prophetic to get that symbolism. When the wind's blowing, it's not going to break the old table anymore, right? Come on. And we want a community that can handle the wind, right? I want that. Yeah, so let's be a table that can handle the wind. A community that can handle the wind. You guys know what I'm saying. Okay, Romans 12, let's go. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then, that's what we were talking about before. There is a kingdom perspective, a kingdom reality that shapes our mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect. And because of God's gracious gift to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. Instead, be modest in your thinking and judge yourself according to the amount of faith God has given you. We have many parts in the one body, and all these parts have different functions. In the same way that we are many, we are all one body in union with Christ, and we are all joined to each other as different parts of one body. So we are to use our different gifts, amen, Mary, good word, we're going for it, in accordance with the grace God has given us. If our gift is to speak God's message, we should do it according to the faith we have. If it is to serve, we should serve. If it is to teach, we should teach. If it is to encourage, we should do so. Whoever shares with others should do it generously. Whoever has authority should work hard. Whoever shows kindness to others should do it cheerfully. I love that paragraph. I said a couple weeks ago when I spoke, I love miracles. I love signs. I love wonders. I love blind eyes opening. I love legs growing out. I love dead coming to life. I love that. I've experienced it. I pray to God for opportunities for that in my life. But notice this section right here. It mentions that kind of, I don't know why he didn't mention it there. And I wish I could have taken more time to study that. It's not saying don't do that, but he's saying, hey, we just talked about this renewed mind. We just talked about this thing where, you know, you're looking through a different lens. And now he goes down this list of gifts. You guys see these? Use your gift according to the grace that God has given you. Speaking. Serving. Nah, I'd much rather just like, you know, lay hands on somebody and then bolt. I don't want to have to serve nobody. What? I heard a pastor one time, a guy came up to him and he said, hey, you know, I've been a believer for a while. I need like a mature track. You have like a mature Christian, something that, you know, real, like the you know. And the pastor said, yep, we got a broom. Serve. What? And Rick Joyner said that a couple weeks ago. humble service. Find a way to serve people. You will be amazed at how people's hearts will be open to do amazing, miraculous works in their lives if you serve them first. Just a thought. I'm not saying don't. I'm not saying don't lay on hands. I'm saying let's do both. If it's to teach, teach. If it's to encourage, encourage. I love the gift of encouragement. Has anybody in this room been touched by the gift of encouragement? It does something to your soul that is amazing. In this day, in this time, in this hour, a word of encouragement to somebody can break down days, weeks, months, years of heaviness. Encourage according to the grace and faith that God has given you. Share generously. We had the opportunity a couple weeks ago. A gentleman was here. He needed something. He needed money for a room. I left. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to, I had some money stashed in my vehicle, came back in. And in the middle of that, James had $40. He was supposed to give something. This guy got like double what he wanted. And we were like so stoked. It wasn't like a, yeah, look, it was like, there was like this sweet generosity. And this man, you would have thought we gave him $1 million. It was incredible. Do these things. I remember one time the Lord told me to pay for somebody's gas. I just wish before the lady was about to go in, I think she was a single mom. And before she could put her car, I put my card in and just fill her up, bawling over a $20 tank of gas in her Toyota Corolla. Like, that is the kingdom. You know, when Jesus saw the woman giving that small thing, that's the 3 mites or 2 mites, whatever it was, what'd he say about her? She gave more. Because what she gave to honor God. She gave with the amount of faith that she was given. That is the kingdom of God. All right. Where are we at? Verse 9 now? Here we go. Love must be completely sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another warmly as Christians and be eager to show, and be eager to show respect for one another. Work hard. Do not be lazy. Serve the Lord with a heart of full devotion. I love verse 12. Let your hope keep you enduring? No. Let your hope keep you joyful. I feel like sometimes hope is just like something that's enough to get me by. You know, it's like it's rough. I got this hope and I'm hoping that I can just make it through. But it says, let your hope keep you joyful. Yes. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone listening and here would experience such a richness of hope that it causes them to stay, be, and remain joyful. Be patient in your troubles and pray at all times. Share your belongings with your needy fellow Christians and open your home to strangers. Ask God to bless those who persecute you. Yes, ask Him to bless and do not curse. Do you know the only time that the disciples in the Gospels ever asked for more faith? They saw some cool stuff, right? They saw miracles, signs. The only time they ever asked for more faith that I've read is when Jesus says, forgive them 70 times 7 times. Whoa, hold on. It's like never dawned on them, oh, well, I can probably raise the dead. Oh, yeah, multiply food. 70 times 7 times. Lord Jesus, we need more faith. Check it out. And that's interesting. It's interesting to me that it doubled up here. Ask God to bless those who persecute you. Yes, ask Him to bless. It's like, did I stutter? Yes, bless them. Do not curse them. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. we experience that in our home groups sometimes, right, Sarah, Rayleigh, Melissa? It's like we experience some sweet times of laughter, and we've experienced some tears, but we experience it together, and there's been a sweetness that I've seen transpire over this time. Have the same concern for everyone. Do not be proud, but accept humble duties. Do not think of yourselves as wise. If someone has done you wrong, do not repay them with a wrong. Try to do what everyone considers to be good. Do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. Some of y'all need to stop with the Facebook. Amen. Do everything possible to live in peace with everybody. Do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. And that one right there struck a nerve with me. Because there have been times in my life, my manhood has been questioned because of my desire to keep peace with people. I don't know if anybody else has experienced that. There are situations that have arisen, and from the outside looking in, it looks like maybe I'm taking advantage of. Maybe somebody's forcing themselves. Maybe it looks like they're using me. I don't know. You fill in the blank. And instead of standing my ground and giving it to them and setting them straight like a man would, be a man. This thing right here, this word says, do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. I've got friends all over the spectrum on these political situations we got going on in our culture and these very polarizing times. I've got friends on both sides, and I can tell you, I have peace with all of them. We have butted heads. One in particular, I can feel the peace starting to leave sometimes. And usually when I start to feel that peace start to leave, my fingers start typing. And I'm like, come back, come back, delete, select all. Delete. Do whatever you can on your part. Doesn't say for you to make them do their part. It says you do your part to live at peace with everybody. I think Philippians, it says fight to maintain the unity of spirit. I found out whenever I have lost peace in a relationship, I've also lost a bridge to their heart. Whenever I've lost peace, whenever I have given up the fight for peace between me and someone else, I have also given up the ability to have any type of healthy influence in their lives. Not that I can't love them, but that ability for them to receive love from me has been compromised. And I don't want to be that. I have a friend on Facebook. She is the complete opposite of me in many terms of what she shares and says. And I wanted to set her straight with counter posts. But I don't. And again, I'm going to refer back to Rick Joyner's message. He said, wait, be patient. Find that one thing that you can have in common with her. And I found it. And she sends and comments nice little, you know, emojis with the crying emoji because she's laughing so hard at stuff. And I'm able to have a bridge, a small bridge right now, but I believe the bridge is getting bigger for more. Anyway, pray about that. See what that looks like in your world, the fight to maintain peace with all people. That's the kingdom. That is the kingdom. Never take revenge. This is verse 19. Never take revenge, my friends, but instead let God's anger do it. Wow. That's a mouthful. We'll have to unpack that another time. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay back, says the Lord. Instead, as the scripture says, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. What? If your enemies are hungry, feed them. You mean give them some food that's going to make them stronger to hurt me even more? What happens if they get tired of hurting me? And you want me to give them some food to give them more energy to hurt me some more? What? If they are thirsty, give them a drink. For by doing this, you will make them burn with shame. Do not let evil defeat you. Instead, conquer evil with good. Romans 12, everybody. Can we just give a hand to God? Come on. Thank you, God, for putting that in the Bible. Yes, God. That is so, so, so good. I'm going to end with this because I know we got places to go. This week, I listened to I don't even know what song it was. Sometimes I just my iTunes playlist plays music, and this song came on with this declaration. And I know the heart behind it, so don't. I'm not criticizing. It just hit me differently. It said, "God, give us more. We're ready for more. God, pour it out. We're ready for more." Right? And something just stuck with me about that. I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to trust God's assessment of whether or not I'm ready for more, other than me telling him that I'm ready for more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think sometimes, think about, you know, my son Braxton, when he was young, he's only 15, but when he was younger, he would get out in the ocean and he wanted to go get on these, he was ready for the more of the ocean. This little 40-pound kid is ready. I'm ready for the more. I want this board. I'm going to go out there and get these big waves. And I'm like, He thought he was ready, but that would be real dangerous for a young boy who doesn't know how to handle an ocean or a current or an undertow. But he was telling me he wanted more, right? He wanted the more of God, or the more of the ocean. And I feel like there's been times in my life I'm like, God, I want more. I'm ready for more. And I got to thinking about these verses, you know, where it says, operate in your gifts according to the faith that you have, right? So I thought it's a really funny analogy. Also, think about Peter one more, real quick. When Peter is on the water, you know, he says, you know, call me out and I'll walk in the waves. He's walking on the water, right? You know the story. He's walking on the water. That is, you know, earthly impossible, but in the kingdom, walking on water is a total possibility, as we see several times in scripture. And then he gets his eyes on the waves and the storm and he starts to sink. And Jesus says to him, your faith is so small, period. Why did you doubt? So, you know, this is open interpretation. I would propose to you, maybe Jesus wasn't in that first statement saying, Peter, your faith is so small. I'm so disappointed in your little teeny lack of faith. What if it was a statement of amazement? Like, your faith is that small and you were able to take a couple steps? What if it was a statement of like, oh my gosh, I know where Peter's coming from. That dude just walked on water a few steps with that little bit of faith he's got. Why did you doubt? Like, what? Where did the transition happen? Like, why did you up? You guys tracking with me? Like, I've always read that as like Jesus's, anytime I fail or whatever, Jesus saying, Josh, why is your faith so small? But what if it was like, Josh, that's all the faith you got and you did that? Faith is amazing. It's kind of like a mustard seed, right? I feel like some of us, and this is, I have a funny little analogy. Jess, will you put up the good picture? The good one. There are people out there that can take a pencil and draw that. There are people who can take a pencil that all of us grew up with and do that. That is a pencil drawing, you guys. That is a pencil drawing. So let's call this pencil faith. Right? Let's call this pencil faith. And Jesus saying, wow, you did that with that? Now, I took a stab at it, and I tried to draw this picture with a pencil. And I put a signature on it and everything so you can see what I was able to do, so you didn't think I was like copying it from somebody. And I came up with this. Got my signature at the bottom just in case anybody wants a copy of it. And I feel like some of us are like this. God, I'm ready for more. Look what I did. You're like, okay, buddy, okay. Well, you got a lot more lead to use before that more that you're asking for. You know what I'm saying? I feel like some of you, I know that some of you have faith that God is just ready for you to max out. Walk on the waters of your life. Forgive the people the 70 times 7. Because that other picture is a picture of what faith can do when it's maxed out. I have a feeling that that person, I don't know how it could get any better. I don't know how it could get any better with that pencil. And I feel like sometimes we're just sitting there, we're like, God, I want to do bigger, more things. I want to get out. And the Lord's like, what? Have you seen what Peter's little bit of, and I feel like you all, it's meant to encourage you, that you all can turn this city upside down with the faith that you have. I don't care what measure it is. You can turn this city upside down by serving, by encouraging, by forgiving, by fighting to keep peace with all people, by teaching, by sharing a laugh, by sharing a tear, by sharing a meal. Build those bridges, paint those pictures, and you will see the kingdom of God create the most beautiful picture in the world that God has planted you in. So everybody go out today, get yourself a pencil, put it in your car, and remember, you got a long way to go. If anybody wants to take some bids on that, I'll let it go. It is an original. So, man, that's all I've got today. I just want to pray. Thank you. I appreciate the encouragement. I feel like that chapter, there's just so much richness in there. I encourage you to read it again this week. As soon as you start to feel the currents of our culture seeping in and riling things up inside of you. Yeah, that subversive little pull. Go back to that. Allow God to speak to you as you read that. Allow God to bring simple, practical, and yet powerful ways to see his kingdom come to earth. When the people are spitting on you like they spit on Jesus, with their comments, with their looks, remember there's a perspective that the Spirit of God within you wants you to live from. So, Father, I just thank you so much for this morning. I thank you so much, Jesus, for just your presence here as we worship you. I thank you for every word that was shared, for every word of scripture that encouraged us. And I just pray this week, for the rest of our lives, we would be aware of this kingdom assignment to live in every aspect of our life from heaven to earth. I ask, Lord, that you would just begin to give words to people right now, for any, people in this room, people in their home, people at their work. Start by your Spirit. Just, Lord, reveal to us how we can serve, how we can bless those who persecute us. And just take a minute and see if there's anything the Lord just wants to show you or share with you. All right. Cool. Well, what a great time together. What a great time together. I love you all so much. I encourage you, find a way, go to the beach with some friends, enjoy some laughter, some beautiful sunrises, sunset. Just be together, enjoy each other, strengthen those bonds. I'll see my home group Wednesday night, Nobles. You guys know what to do. And Blanchard's, the word will be coming out soon enough, from as soon as Lonnie confirms. All right, be blessed. We love you so much. Have a great week.